Today on More to Life, cleaning house will help you declutter by removing the obstacles that stand between you and a more joyful life and relationships. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, we're cleaning house as we help you declutter by removing the obstacles that stand between you and a more joyful life and more joyful relationships. Give us a call. That number is 877-573-7825. If you'd like to be more joyful or help someone you care about be more joyful, today is the day for you. Join the conversation here on More to Life, and we'll help you discover how to live a more joyful life and have more joyful relationships. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
You know, I think that trying to be joyful can be so complicated. You know, as you were saying, Greg, maybe there's somebody in your life that you want to be more joyful, because not only do you want what's best for them, but their lack of joy can really suck the joy right out of your life and your heart, right? It can feel so complicated. And often we feel like the only time we can have a sense of joy is when we get a vacation of some kind or another, and we can just shut out the world. But most of us have to live in the world pretty much 24/7, except for those occasional vacations. And even when you're on vacation, if you're a grown-up, you got stuff running through your head because you've got responsibilities that sometimes can weigh on you. So what's coming between you and your ability to have a more joyful life or more joy-filled relationships? Are you struggling to be more joyful as a person and you just aren't sure where to start? Or for that matter, would you like to help anybody that you care about to be more joyful? Let us help you clean out your house today and remove the obstacles to that more joyful life right here on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Of course, if you're listening later on to the More to Life podcast, you can still get your questions in via email. That address is questions@moretoliferadio.com. That's with the number two, questions@moretoliferadio.com. But if you're listening live, give us a call and let us get to your questions right away at 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're wondering, what is that, and how can that help me be a more joyful person or have more joyful relationships? Well, you've come to the right place. When St. John Paul was Pope, he gave a series of reflections over the course of about 5 years that looked at how we can live a more abundant life and have healthier, holier relationships by prayerfully reflecting on God's design of creation, especially his design of our bodies.
The theology of the body reminds us that there is a big difference between joy and mere happiness. You know, we tend to think that joy is a product of stepping away from life and finding little ways to enjoy ourselves, or stepping away from stress. And while that can be important, the feeling we get from doing this isn't actually joy. It's happiness. And happiness is good. Don't worry. Problem is, it's fleeting. Happiness only lasts as long as the pleasure sticks around or that stress stays away. Joy, on the other hand, is the fruit that comes from intentionally trying to do whatever you can to live a more meaningful, intimate and virtuous life every day.
And of course, we talk about those qualities all the time here on More to Life. You know, but joy is the quality that allows us to have a deeper sense of rightness and contentment about our lives, even when things are maybe a little crazy or not going the way we'd like. You know, whether things are going the way we'd like or not, in this particular moment, joy enables us to look at the bigger picture. It lets us feel good about where we've been and where we're going, and that comes from doing our best to build our lives around the pursuit of meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. You know, a joyful person is able to find meaning in whatever we're going through. We look for ways to use our experiences, good and bad, to draw closer to the people that we love. And we try to see everything we go through as an opportunity to learn something new and become a better, stronger, healthier version of ourselves. Where other people endure life and the problems they face, joyful people live life and learn from their struggles. And unlike happiness, because joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, you can't pursue joy directly by doing this thing or avoiding that thing. Cultivating joy means dedicating yourself to a life of meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, regardless of your circumstances. So again, you know, there's a little bit of a common misunderstanding about what joy is, and it's important to make that distinction between joy and simple happiness. And again, while, as Lisa was pointing out, happiness is a lovely thing to be or to have, but it's different from joy. Joy is a deeper sense of that rightness that comes from seeing that my life reflects that meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. So let us help you have a more joyful life and have more joy-filled relationships today on More to Life. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We want to help you declutter your life on our show titled Cleaning House. We're removing the obstacles to joy today on More to Life. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring to you all those situations that are making it hard for us to be joyful and to experience the fruit of the Holy Spirit that is your joy. We give to you those problems that we face, those struggles that we are in the middle of, those challenging relationships that we're experiencing that are making it hard to feel joyful. And we ask you to help us to connect to that meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue that allows us to cultivate joy in our lives. Help us lead more meaningful lives by showing us how to use the gifts and talents you've given us to make a positive difference in the situation we're in or the people's lives around us. Help us to lead more intimate lives by showing us how to draw closer to those that we care about in good times and in bad times. And finally, Lord, show us how to grow in virtue by taking whatever life is giving to us right now and using it as an opportunity to draw closer to you and become healthier, stronger, more grace-filled, godlier people. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Cleaning House. We are helping you get this week off to a good start by decluttering the stuff that's coming between you and a more joyful life and more joy-filled relationships. The number to call to get your questions in, 877-573-7825. Call up and share what's coming between you and your ability to lead a more joyful life or have more joy-filled relationships. Maybe you're struggling to be a more joyful person and you're not sure where to start. Or for that matter, perhaps you'd like to help someone you care about be more joyful. Well, whatever the situation is, we want to help you clean house and remove those obstacles to joy that are in your life. 877-573-7825.
We have an email here from Kathy.
Excuse me.
I'm sorry.
Oh, never mind. I completely. It's Monday, folks. Give me a break.
After a long weekend.
By all means,
we
continue.
Have an email here from Catherine, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas. And she said, it's my anxiety that steals my joy. Sometimes when something goes wrong, I have all these thoughts that go through my head about how it will never get better and that I'm doomed to be as miserable as my parents were. When I try to think positively, that's when things always get worse. So I am afraid to even hope for things to be able to work out. How can I break this cycle of my anxiety making me freeze and feel like I can't do anything at all? And that's Catherine in Texas.
Catherine, great question, and thank you so much for your message. I have to say, you know, you're not alone. You know, there's research that actually shows that trying to engage in positive thinking does actually make us feel worse. And that's surprising to a lot of people, but the reason for that is that when we say just sort of unanchored positive messages to ourselves, I'll explain what I mean by that in a minute. You know, we say things like, you know, the classic, gosh darn it, I'm good enough and I'm smart enough and people like me. But in the back of our heads, what we really hear is, yeah, right. So we say all these positive messages in the front of our head, but in the back of our mind, we're denying it. We're saying, that's not true. Yeah, that's crazy. Where's that? Where are you getting that from? And so it falls flat. It's the same sort of thing when we tell our problems to other people, and they say things like, oh, you'll be fine, you just worry too much, it'll be all right. You know, we know they don't get it, so we don't listen to them. And in the same way, when we try to give that kind of just unmoored positive advice to ourselves, we reject it too. And then we tend to double down on the negativity as a way of proving to ourselves and others that things really are as bad as we say they are. So the answer, and I talk about this more in my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, the answer is to not so much think positively as to think proactively. In other words, to be able to say, okay, there's a problem, or to say it's all going to be fine, because you can't promise that. What you can do, though, is bring that problem to God and really prayerfully reflect on what do I need to do to take one small step to making this situation even a little bit better. Or if I can't figure out what the answer to that is, then what's one small thing I could do to take care of myself so that I can bring down my emotional temperature a little bit so I might be able to think about this problem or these challenges with a clearer head? Either way, I'm making a more meaningful response to it by prayerfully reflecting on the gifts God has given me and asking, what does the Lord want me to do about this situation? What's one small thing I can do to make it a little bit better? And that's where, again, you know, the joy doesn't come necessarily from feeling happy all the time and saying, yay, there's problems, wonderful, let me dive right in. It comes from knowing that even in the face of my problems, I am leading a more meaningful, intimate, and virtuous life. I'm using my gifts and talents to make a positive difference. I'm drawing closer to the people around me in healthy ways. I'm using that experience that I'm going through to draw closer to God or be a healthier, stronger, more grace-filled person. And the more I do that, the more I may not feel happy, but I do feel joyful. I have that sense of peace and rightness that comes from looking at my life and knowing where I've been and knowing where I'm going and seeing that that path is leading to a more meaningful, intimate, and virtuous life. And that's where joy comes into that. So I want you to not so much focus on the positive thinking, right, but more on the proactive thinking. What's the problem? What is one small thing I could either do to make the tiniest difference? Or if you can't think of that answer, what's one small thing I could do to help myself feel a little better so that I can take care of myself and put my head in a space where I can begin to think about this problem in a healthier way?
It's very, very easy for Satan to use the big picture stuff to sort of suck all the air out of our spiritual lungs. Even it feels physical sometimes, like the air has just been sucked out of your lungs and you can't do anything. And I really want to say, Catherine, that idea of you're doomed, you know, just to be like your parents were. Now, you don't go into great detail about that. You just say, you know, that's where your thoughts are coming from watching your parents' lives. And Satan wants you to think that because it just cripples us when we think in that big picture way. It's never going to get better. If I do something positive or have a happy thought, you know, it's all going to crumble. These tiny baby steps really do begin to give your mind and actually your nervous system proof that you can do things positively, that you have capabilities, that you can do that next small thing and build on that. And that's what begins to change that reaction that you have when you're up against something difficult.
Yeah, those thoughts that Lisa was just referring to, you know, those thoughts that you described, that you're going to be just like your parents and everything, nothing's ever going to work out.
She even said she feels frozen, like she can't do anything.
Those are called desolations, right. And specifically the desolation of catastrophizing. St. Ignatius of Loyola said that any thought or impulse, feeling that pulls us away from God or makes it harder for us to lead a godly life is a desolation from the enemy. It's basically the enemy whispering in your spiritual ear different thoughts and bringing to mind certain memories that, you know, that make you feel demoralized and stuck and paralyzed. So we come against those thoughts not by saying positive things back, but by bringing those thoughts to the Lord and saying, all right, what's one small thing I could do here? So, for example, you know, when you have that thought in your head, oh, I'm going to be just like my parents, as miserable as they were, you have to remind yourself, well, I mean, that's a choice that I would have to make. Right, I could choose to relate to this problem the way I saw my parents relating to problems, or I could choose to do something different that would let me be more proactive, more effective, and lean into that more meaningful, intimate, and virtuous life. The more I can see myself making different choices than my parents made, the more joyful I'm going to be because I see there's hope. You know, I might still be stuck in the middle of the problem, but I see that I have a way through it that's different from the way that I saw in my childhood. And that's what gives me that joy and that hope, that knowledge that I can cooperate with God's grace to do something different and lead a different life. So if you'd like more help in being able to confront those desolations and overcome them, I'd really encourage you, Catherine, to pick up a copy of my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, which really talks a lot more in detail about how to overcome those kinds of desolations you were describing. Again, that's Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. If you'd like to get more personal assistance in finding faithful responses to these feelings and thoughts and memories, I'd really encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, where we can connect you with one of our faithful professional Catholic counselors to help you transform your life and experience more peace and joy. That's CatholicCounselors.com. All right, with that, we have to go to break. But when we come back, we're continuing to take your calls on our show titled Cleaning House. We're kicking off the week by helping you declutter your life by removing the obstacles that stand between you and a more joyful life and more joy-filled relationships. Give us a call. That number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. And More to Life will come back with more of your questions and calls right after this break.
He was a pope, a saint, and a doctor of the church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
Pope St. Gregory I the Great is one of only four popes honored as the Great. Among his many achievements was sending missionaries across Northern Europe, especially St. Augustine of Canterbury, who brought Christ to the people of England. In a pun, Pope Gregory called the English people angels. He died in 604.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Have you booked your spot for the Grand Getaway this year? It's held at the historic Grand Hotel on Mackinac Island from July 22nd to the 24th. Speakers include Scott and Kimberly Hahn, Father Josh Johnson, and Father John Ricardo. With daily mass, live taping of Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, and dancing to the Grand Hotel Orchestra, it's hardly a surprise that there's just a few spots remaining for this very special event. Book this Ave Maria radio trip now. Check the travel page on AveMariaRadio.net.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you feel as though life is flying past you? Are you desperate for a way to find moments of peace and quiet? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series, will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. Excuse me. And today our show is titled Cleaning House, as we talk about ways to declutter our lives and remove those obstacles that stand between us and a more joyful life and more joy-filled relationships. Give us a call. That number is 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825.
So is there something that's making you feel less than your best self, which is really not having any joy? Are you feeling anxiety about something? Are you feeling depressed or let down about a relationship or a situation in your life? Or is somebody in your life that you care about going through something like that and you don't know what to do about any of this? Let us help you find answers full of God's grace today here on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
By the way, one thing that I am getting a lot of joy from, and I hope that you will too, is the upcoming Eucharistic Congress. Lisa and I will be there next week, all week, leading programming for the Family Track, and we would love for you to join us there. You can go to eucharisticcongress.com/family-information. Let me say that again, eucharisticcongress.com/family-information to learn more about the Catholic Home Immersive Experience for parents and kids. Discover how the Eucharist can help you build a more loving, caring, and connected Catholic household on mission at the Catholic Home Immersive Experience next week at the National Eucharistic Congress. And by the way, you don't have to wait till then, or I understand many of our sessions are actually filled up, so if you can't get in, you don't have to wait for the Congress. You can just download the Catholic HOM app. When you download the Catholic Home app, you can chat every day with our Catholic parenting coaches, watch our animated series, download tons of fun faith-building family activities, tune into podcasts for Catholic moms and dads, and get support from other Catholic families around the world. That's all on the Catholic HOM app. Download it and check it out, and hopefully we'll see you at the National Eucharistic Congress Catholic Home Immersive Experience next week as well. But right now, we are responding to your questions at 877-573-7825 about leading a more joyful life.
Well, we have an email here from Mary Kate, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Virginia, and she said, "What's stealing my joy this summer, I hate to admit it, is being around my children. They're 7 and 10, and they fight so much during the summer. This doesn't happen as much during the school year because, well, they're just too busy and we're too organized with our day. School, home, homework, time together, bed. They just don't have the time to fight as much. When they fight, I make them apologize to each other by saying I'm sorry and I forgive you. But they still stomp off angry, and the resentment seems to build between them and actually their resentment toward me. And I'm getting just lost in being angry for losing the close, connected summer I was wanting to have with them. Is there anything I can do to get them to actually forgive each other and stop all this fighting?" That's Mary Kate listening in Virginia.
Hey, Mary Kate, thanks so much for the question. Yeah, actually, there's a lot you can do. So this is something we talk about in our parenting book, Parenting Your Kids with Grace. We call it the sibling revelry technique, as opposed to sibling rivalry. Huh, see what we did there? Sibling revelry. So basically what it is, you know, the problem right now is that you're asking them to apologize and forgive each other, but you're not necessarily giving them any new skills to handle those situations better. So they keep going back into the same old patterns, right? We all fall into this trap where we think that saying sorry is kind of the magic word that makes it all better. But that's really just the first step. So here's what you need to do. When they're behaving that way, you separate them and put them in different parts of the house. And it's basically a kind of a timeout, but there's a special requirement here where they can't get out. First of all, don't start any timing until they're actually calm. People make that mistake. They think that, okay, it's you know, 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever it is.
But the kids are huffing and puffing and stomping their little feet or even screaming, and that's not
the beginning of a timeout. Don't start timeout until everybody's calm. And if that takes them an hour to be there, then it takes them an hour to be there. But then you start your 10 minutes after that.
Let me just take a minute to explain why. It's not part of the punishment. It's that they can't begin to think or reason or problem solve until they're calm enough. Their brain just won't work. So it's not that, you know, you're making them suffer or calm down faster. It's that they need to be able to think.
Right, and that's, you know, in general, as a public service announcement for all the listeners here, timeouts don't work because very often we think that they're a punishment, and we think that if I just, you know, apply enough punishments, then it's going to... Timeout isn't a punishment. It's meant to help a kid calm down enough to then receive instruction. So if you give a kid timeout but no instruction, you're basically not doing anything, right? You're wasting a lot of energy to not accomplish much. So look, we're going to share more about how to fix this, because there are additional steps, but we're running out of time in this hard break. So in the next next 2 minutes, we'll come back and finish up talking with Mary Kate about her question about how to handling this sibling rivalry issue that she's dealing with at home. But if you are struggling with obstacles to joy in your life or your relationships, we'd love to hear more from you. You can pick up the phone and give us a call. That number is 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. Call up and tell us what's coming between you and your ability to have a more joyful life or more joy-filled relationships. Are you struggling to be a more joyful person and not sure where to start? Or are you having a hard time helping someone you care about be more joyful? Whatever's getting in the way of joy in your life, give us a call at 877-573-7825, and we'll help you through it. We'll finish our advice to Mary Kate in Virginia, and we'll be taking your calls about removing the obstacles to joy in your life when More to Life continues. 877-573-7825. Back in a minute.
Why is sacrifice an important part of worship? The Catholic Catechism tells us that it is right and good to offer sacrifice to God as a sign of adoration, gratitude, supplication, and communion. What is the sacrifice most pleasing to God? Psalm 51 says, "It is a broken spirit." What does that mean? Paragraph 2100 of the Catechism counsels, "Outward sacrifice, to be genuine, must be an expression of inward spiritual sacrifice." Old Covenant prophets denounced sacrifices that were not from the heart or not coupled with love of neighbor. The one perfect sacrifice was Jesus' agony and death on the cross. By uniting ourselves with the Lord's sacrifice, we can make our lives a sacrifice to God. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
The Church isn't saying throw out the baby with the bathwater. Throw out all the media. Don't use the media. What the Pope is saying, that make sure that what you are doing is enabling yourself and others to encounter Christ more deeply. And you can't do that unless you reach out. You have to reach out to God first. You have to encounter Him in the Eucharist, in that personal relationship. And then you pray, you reflect, and then you go. In my book, Beyond Sunday, Becoming a 24/7 Catholic, I talk about the three M's of faith: meeting, mercy, and mission. You meet and encounter Christ. You enter into a personal relationship with Him. He gives you mercy. And then what do? You just sit there and say, "Oh, thanks, Jesus. See you later." No, you go out on mission exactly as the woman at the well did.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Raising kids is hard. We all do our best, and we all fear that we failed in some way. Especially when our relationship with our adult kids isn't what we wish it was, it's easy to give in to self-recrimination. Blame, especially self-blame, accomplishes nothing except fostering the feeling that we're stuck and powerless. Rather than ruminating about past mistakes, put your energy in what needs to happen to make your relationship stronger today. Look for opportunities to create a stronger connection with your adult kids. Seek out ways to build build trust. Take the initiative. Of course, you need to respect your adult children's boundaries, but let them know that you have no intention of giving up on them and that you're willing to have whatever relationship they're willing to build with you. Start from that point and build from there. Want more tips for strengthening your relationship with your adult kids? Check out our book, Having Meaningful and Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Cleaning House, as we talk about ways to declutter our lives and remove the obstacles that stand between us and a more joyful life and more joy-filled relationships. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Before the break, we were talking with Mary Kate in Virginia, who was sharing that the thing that's stealing her joy this summer is her 7 and 10-year-olds constant bickering with each other.
She says resentment when she gets them to apologize to each other.
Well, and she says exactly. The way she's handling it right now is to make the offender say, I'm sorry, and the other one say, I forgive you. But then they go right back to doing what they were doing before that was driving her crazy and making them nuts. So before the break, we were talking about a modified kind of variation on the timeout that we call sibling revelry, as opposed to sibling rivalry. We describe this in our book, Parenting Your Kids with Grace, and also Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace. So, as I was mentioning before the break, in any timeout at all, you want to make sure that it doesn't start until the kids are calm, right? Because that's the number one mistake parents make, is I send my kid into the room or whether the timeout space, and then I just start the timer right away, and then I come back and they're just calming down then. So they're not really ready to work. See, a timeout is not a punishment. It's intended to create a space for your child to calm down enough to then receive instruction. But if I send my kid the timeout and I don't let them calm down and I don't give them any instruction, I'm better off doing nothing. because that's number one.
And it is better off than doing nothing because it just keeps lifting up the tension. So, that's why it's almost better than doing nothing at all.
So that's my sort of preamble to the sibling revelry technique. What you want to do is you want to send both the kids off to their separate corners, right? And you don't start the timer until they're both calm. But to get out, they need to be able to tell, once they're calm, they need to be able to tell you what they could have done differently to handle the situation better. Now, the first time you go in there, what's going to happen is they're going to say, well, my brother, this and that. Mm-hmm. Well, he, this and that. He's the one who's... You say, listen, I'm not interested in hearing from you what your brother did. I'm interested in hearing from you what you could have done to make it go better. Or, if you don't know, then for you to be ready to talk to me about it. I'll be back in another 5 minutes to check on you. Then you go to the other one, and you say the same thing.
And the same thing will happen. They'll accuse their sibling and say all the things that sibling should have done differently.
At which point you say, I'm not interested in hearing what your brother did. I'm interested in hearing what you could have done to make it go better. I'll be back in 5 minutes. You go take your break, calm yourself down, you try it again.
Now, I want you to see this picture in your mind. Mary Kate and all the parents who are listening, all the caregivers of children during the day who are listening, isn't this different than you having to be omniscient and be the judge and jury on who did what right and who did what wrong and who gets the blame? None of this is about blame. It's about what each one of them could have done differently so that they know how to do it better the next time and they know how to make amends now.
Yeah. So the point of this exercise is to teach your kids that even if they're not the one who's at fault, even if they're not the one who, quote-unquote, started it, there's always something that we can do to make a situation better or worse. And we have to make sure that we're doing those things to try our best to make even difficult situations better. Because that's how we find our power. That's how we find grace. And that's how we can make change. So, eventually, they're either going to say, well, I could have done this. Or they'll say, I just don't know what to do.
Well, they should have said, and they can't say, I shouldn't have done that. Whatever it is, you're working toward what should have gone on differently, and therefore what can go on differently the next time they get on each other's nerves.
So, but when they're receptive to your instruction, at that point you can say, all right, so what do you think was the problem? Well, he did thus and such. Okay, and how could you have, what could you have said or done to try to handle that better? And then you coach them through that, and then you say, well, if that didn't work, what could you do next? Well, I don't know. Usually the answer to that one, though, is come and find me, right? So if the thing we talked about doesn't work, then you come and find me and we'll figure it out. Then you do the same thing with the other one. Then finally you bring them together. When you bring them together, the job is to, for each of them to say, I'm sorry that I did, I was really hurt when you did thus and such. I'm sorry I did this. I should have done this instead. And I promise to do better next time. You forgive? Will you forgive me? So you're doing the forgiveness part that you're already doing, but you actually provided instruction, and you're helping provide some accountability to make sure that they'll actually do the thing the next time. Now, they're not going to automatically go to that. You know, you're going to have to remind them. You're going to have to do this process, you know, a handful of times at least to resolve even one specific issue. But you're going to notice that each time that you run into this issue, it gets a little bit better. Because you're giving them skills, you're walking them through it, you're coaching them on how to handle it better. So there's no magic words scenario here where they just say, I'm sorry and I forgive you and it's supposed to all go away. Or, you know, timeout fairy who comes and whaps them on the head with a wand and makes everything all better. That's not how it works, right? So we give them the space to reflect on their behavior and what they could have done to make it better even if they weren't the ones at fault or they don't think they were. And then you bring them together, have them talk about what they could have done differently, apologize for not having it handled it that way, and promise to do better next time, and then you can move on, right? You congratulate them on handling this well. I've actually had parents who've done this with their kids, and their kids come back to them afterward and thank them. Because you know, the kids don't want to bicker either, right? They don't like feeling that way, and they don't like feeling that way about each other.
And they also really hate when they feel judged by their parents, like their parents are taking one person's side over the other person's side. Even if they win, it just makes them feel insecure and uncomfortable. This way, you're really empowering them to have the skills that they need to have the relationship with their sibling, with you, and take those skills into the world with other people. In this one scenario, it works every time.
All right. Well, thank you, Mary Kate, for the question. We appreciate it. If you'd like to learn more about this sibling revelry technique, you can go to Parenting Your Kids with Grace or Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace. Both of those books are available at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. And we're taking your calls right now, listeners, at 877-573-7825. What's stealing your joy? Let us help you declutter today on our show titled Cleaning House as we help you remove the obstacles to a more joyful life and more joy-filled relationships.
We're talking now with Marina, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Missouri.
Hi, Marina. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm struggling, and I've always struggled in my entire life with remembering things a lot and not letting things go, and those thoughts go into my mind and like, you know, constant preoccupation or worry and preventing me from getting joy. Like they you know, if
so
I
can you give me an example of a thought that would be preoccupying you?
It may be something as simple as I may have gotten an earring from somebody and I lost that earring, and those thoughts keep in my mind over and over, and creating, stealing my joy for something that may happen to many people.
So now, when you say that example, I mean, is that something that happened recently, or is this, you know, are you talking about something that happened years ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. No, so, it could be recently, but it could be also years ago. Like, it could, you know, the hearing actually more than once that happened. I'm probably a little bit too clumsy and lose things very often, so. But yeah, it keeps coming back and resonates to my mind.
So there are a couple of possibilities here. So let me ask you. I mean, what do you think is the main reason that this is happening to you? Any thoughts at all?
Well, I do think I probably have some. So I've been on depression medicine for 20 years, right? So I definitely have a really strong depression. History in my family, we have people that committed suicide and all that. But I think that's part of that thoughts stick to my mind a lot and go into the world.
And are you in counseling as well as getting medication right now, or are you not doing that now?
No, so in the past I was in counseling. I don't know, I got a pretty cynical about it at some point. I know I know the answer. It feels like hard for me to think about how somebody else could help me, but I'm in medication only.
Okay. So a couple of thoughts. I mean, so if just in the self-help side of things, so it's not uncommon for someone who is dealing with depression or anxiety to ruminate, exactly like you're describing. That's one of the symptoms of depressive thinking. And it, you know, it doesn't go away easily, but it can go away. What you have to be able to do, though, okay, is walk yourself through a mental process whenever you catch yourself ruminating about these things, where you kind of say stop, number one, and I want to step back and think about it. Don't dismiss the thought. Don't criticize yourself for having the thought. Also, don't get lost in it. But just say, okay, I'm going to stop for a second. I'm going to step back. I'm going to look at this situation. So, you know, I lost the backing for the earring. Is there anything I need to do about this? Not just the thing itself, like, you know, find the backing. Well, I can't find it. All right. Is there anything I can do, so for example, to do a better job taking care of my jewelry in general moving forward, right? Or my things in general, so I know where there's a place for things. Because, again, one of the reasons that our mind does this is because it's saying, hey, Marina, I want you to learn something. I want you to do better. I want you to make a plan for handling this the next time. And so we can't let it go because we don't have a plan for doing better. And so our mind just keeps saying, our minds are oriented toward growth, right? That's how God built us, so that we can cooperate with grace and we can be better. So when we ruminate about something, what our mind is really saying, hey, is even if you can't fix this specific problem, I'd really like it if you came up with a plan to help make sure this kind of thing doesn't happen again. So what could we do about that? Right, so then you reorient yourself to making a plan. What would I need to do to decrease the likelihood that this kind of thing would happen in the future? Then you kind of put your focus on making that thing happen. And the more you're able to focus on making a plan to learn from the mistake or learn from the experience, the less you're going to ruminate about it. Because unless, you know, it's very much like, I'm looking at my laptop right now. I've got like 30 tabs open on the thing, okay? And I do that because there are all those things that I have to remember to do. And if I don't have that visual reminder, I can't, you know, I won't do them. But we most of us live our lives that way too, right? Where, you know, I don't actually handle the problem that's in front of me. I just sort of say, oh, I'm so dumb, I can't believe that happened. And I just, well, I guess there's nothing I can do, and I try to move on. But my mind won't let me. It keeps saying, no, look, Greg, I want you to learn from this. Either you can fix the situation, or if you can't fix it, then at least you can make a plan to do better next time. So let's sit down and make that plan. And until I do that, it's going to keep bringing it back up and bringing it back up and bringing it back up. So my suggestion to you, Marina, would be to really step back when you're having that thought. Ask yourself, is there anything I could do about the immediate problem to resolve it? And if not, then what could I do to make a plan to decrease the likelihood that this kind of thing will happen in the future? Then focus your energy on making those things happen so you can have that more proactive mindset I was talking about with our previous caller. You know, who was getting caught up in negative thoughts that were leading to anxiety for her. Now, I did ask about the counseling. I completely understand why dealing with a long-term depression, you might be a little jaded or cynical about counseling. I get that. Part of that, though, comes from having the right kind of counselor. So you want to be working with somebody who can walk you through the process I just walked you through and not just have you talk about your feelings, but really be able to think through, oh, well, what do I need to do about this situation that I'm ruminating about? What is that rumination trying to tell me? So if you have worked with someone in the past that you are comfortable with and you'd like to reconnect with, I strongly encourage you to do so. If not, I'd love for you to work with our team at CatholicCounselors.com. We can help you find faithful ways to respond to these troubling thoughts and cooperate more effectively with God's grace to make these plans so you can learn from the things and feel good about yourself moving forward. But either way, the key is doing what I described to you. And if you can do it yourself, great. That's problem solved. But if you're struggling to make that happen, then reach out to us and let us walk with you through this until this kind of becomes second nature to you. Because I think that that's going to be a big part of you reclaiming your joy. So thanks for the call, Marina. I hope that these suggestions will help you get started. And if there's more we can do to support you, you know where to find us at CatholicCounselors.com. With that, we have to take our break. But it's as we head out, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Romans chapter 14, verse 17.
For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit.
And this is, you know, again, emphasizing the idea that there's a difference between happiness and joy. And, you know, when I say that, people go, oh, great, because I want to be happy. Well, there's nothing wrong with happiness. I mean, as long as it's moral and it's healthy. Happiness is a good thing. But joy is deeper. You know, happiness only sticks around as long as that good meal or that positive experience or that happy day is around. And then as soon as it's gone, I'm not happy anymore. But joy lasts. It's that underlying sense of rightness that we shared comes from leaning into meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, no matter what we do. And the more we can say, well, like we were just talking about with Marina, okay, I'm leading a meaningful life by asking myself constantly, how can I use my gifts and talents to learn from this experience and make a positive difference in some way? Right? Or how can I, the intimacy one, how can I use this experience to draw closer to the people in my life and have healthier, stronger relationships? Or the virtue piece, how can I use whatever's happening to me to become a healthier, godlier, stronger person? The more we lean into that meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, the more we can fulfill this scripture from St. Paul, who reminds us that joy is really a matter of living in that righteousness and peace. All right. Well, we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825 about joy on our show titled Cleaning House. We are helping you declutter by removing the obstacles to joy that are getting in the way of a more abundant life and healthier, happier, holier relationships. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue after the break.
Cresta in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Garendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 40 years of experience, 17,000 current students, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plan, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right, pretty much everything. My wife and I use Seton, some of our children. Tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT. Over 30% higher on English and reading on the ACT. It's a rigorous program. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. That is SetonHome.org.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
We're so glad to be with you today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and our show today is titled Cleaning House, as we talk about decluttering our lives by removing the obstacles to joy that we experience in our life and relationships? Let's talk it out at 877-573-7825.
Before we take our next question, we want to send out congratulations to another member of the EWTN radio family. Wilmington Catholic Radio, with three FM stations in North Carolina, is celebrating 20 years with EWTN.
Congratulations to Bill Hamilton and his great team at Wilmington Catholic Radio, and your friends right here at EWTN. And wherever you're tuning into EWTN Radio, make sure you're supporting your local EWTN Catholic radio station, certainly with your prayers, but with your dollars too, so we can keep supporting you for decades to come. And with that, we are taking your questions here on More to Life about decluttering the obstacles to joy that we experience, all of us experience in our life or relationships. 877-573-7825.
We're taking a question from George, who is listening to EWTN Radio in Pennsylvania on JMJ Radio. He couldn't stay on the line, but we want to make sure that we can take his call so he can hear the answer. He said he and his wife of 30 years have avoided difficult conversations involving big decisions because they don't think the same way on things. He said their conversations usually involve trivia topics.
Well, George, I want to first of all thank you for the question, and I'm sorry that you guys are going through this. The reality is there are no couples who think exactly alike, and where you're getting into trouble here is that you're not willing to learn from each other. You're too invested in being right and shoving your own thoughts and ideas and agendas down each other's throats to learn from each other.
Either that, or you're too scared to have that kind of conflict, so you just shut down. And we actually see this a great deal in couples who have been married around the time you have, because often they've been so busy dividing up their worlds. One person's taking care of the kids, the other person's taking care of, you know, making money and doing things, or they're doing both of those things, and so you just get involved in the, you know, who's picking up the milk, who's getting the kids from what, this is what's on the calendar, and it's uncomfortable to have those bigger decisions, you know, conversations about bigger decisions.
So, George, there's a lot I could share with you. We have limited time here, so I'm going to start with the most important thing, and then I'm going to give you some resources. First, I don't know if you guys pray together, or if you do, how you pray together, but I'm going to suggest that you want to start there. And when I say that, people roll their eyes because they think, oh, yeah, of course you're suggesting prayer. That's a magic solution for everything. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, I want you to bring this situation to God together, you and your wife. And every day I want you to pray, Lord, you know, I know what I think about a whole bunch of things. And she knows what she thinks about a whole bunch of things. But we're not very good at listening to each other. Help us to figure out what you want us to think about these things, or what you want us to do about these things. And help us to take care of each other while we figure that out together. Right, so do you hear what I'm saying? Okay, look, I mean, you're not denying what you think. She's not denying what she thinks. You're bringing it all to God. You're saying, but teach us what you want us to think and what you want us to do, and help us to take care of each other while we figure out how to do it. This actually has some good research behind it. You can look it up yourself. There's a TED Talk by Dr. Eli Finkel of Northwestern University. He talks about the marriage hack, where they had two groups of couples. The one group they sent into a room to say, go have a discussion about a difficult topic, and we'll check in on you later. The other group, they said, okay, before you go in that room and have a talk about a difficult topic, we want you to think about somebody who loves you both and wants the best for both of you. How would they want you to handle this conversation? Okay, now go talk about it. What they found was that the couples that actually reflected a little bit on, you know, somebody who loved them both and wanted the best for both of them, and how that person would want them to handle the conversation, not only handled those disagreements better, but when they checked in on these couples a year later, their marriages continued to improve. Now, here's the thing. As Christians, we don't have to imagine somebody who loves us both and wants the best for both of us. We've got God. And God wants to help you have a more godly, healthy relationship. So we need to go to Him and ask Him to teach us how to do that. You know, you can have a marriage with Christians in it, but you can't have a Christian marriage unless you're praying together every day. Pretty much like the way I'm saying. Certainly, whatever other devotions or other prayers that are meaningful to you, by all means, bring those in. But I want you to start with, Lord, you know, I know what I think about this, and my wife knows what she thinks about it, but help us to figure out what you want us to think about it and what you want us to do, and help us to take care of each other while we work together to figure it out. And I want you both to then, you know, you can use that prayer every day, like when you wake up in the morning. You can use it when you're getting into a conversation. And you can use it in the middle of the conversation if you're getting frustrated with each other. But you want to step back and realize that it's not about which one of you is right. It's about what is God leading the two of you to, and how can you help each other get there and take care of each other while you get there. So there are lots of other tools. I've only got about 30 seconds before they start playing us out of here. But there are lots of other tools that we describe in our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. That book is covers 8 research-based habits that healthy, happy couples practice, and they're skills that any couple can learn. I'd really encourage you and your wife to go through it together. That's How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. Start with the suggestion I've given you here on the air. Follow it up with the suggestions in that book. But if you feel like you need more help to break through this barrier after 30 years and really start learning from each other and being humble enough to respond to each other's hearts and not just focus on being right, I'd really encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. And that goes for all of our listeners who would like to learn how to have more joyful and healthy, abundant life and relationships. You can get connected with one of our counselors at CatholicCounselors.com. Discover faithful ways to transform your marriage, family, and your personal life in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks for tuning in, folks. Celebrate the life God wants you to have, because with His grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.